You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. My name is David James, and I'm your host. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back again for another week. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, this message is a continuation, yet it's not part two. The title of this message is The Secret Teachings of Eustace Mullins. Last week, we read from Bertrand Comparé's Israel's Fingerprints, and we moved on to something from Eustace Mullins called The Secret Holocaust. Now, he has two teachings by that name, and we're going to read both of those teachings. However, we've gone midway through the first one. But before I proceed, I would like to read to you a poem that I wrote yesterday. And the title of the poem is The Blood Will Cry. Through the carnage lives the tear, with a ghastly blackened stare. Dragon's children, full of guile, seek to win amidst a smile. Twisted jargon pouring out of the devil's children's mouths. All the while the blood will cry, the blood will cry, the children die. All the while the blood will cry. Oh, the chains that hold us back. From pure white to blackest black. From the dark they masquerade. See the serpent neath the blade. Turn the page and read the word. Burn the traitor who's been lured. All the while the blood will cry. The blood will cry, the children die. All the while the blood will cry. Far from truth, embracing lies, using words to compromise, tells a tale of no remorse, still the serpent keeps its course. They are heroes of the blind, those who never use the mind. All the while the blood will cry, the blood will cry, the children die. All the while, the blood will cry. It's very heart-touching, I would say, because Abel's blood cried out to Yahweh. And if Abel's blood cried out, that means that all the blood from Abel to Zacharias till now is crying out to Yahweh. It tells us something about blood. Because life is the blood, and blood is life. Just in the same way as Yeshua's blood that was shed for us is life. Blood is very important because as a race, the Adamic race, we are of the same blood. And that links us all together. So listen to that poem again sometime. and it'll make more and more sense to you all the while. So we're going to continue. It was called The Holocaust Explained, but it's really called The Secret Holocaust, because as it had started out, we had found out the definition of the Holocaust. And that definition was wholly burnt. So last week, I left you with this sentence that I thought was very important. Let me read it to you again, but in the whole paragraph. In the camps, the Jewish inmates assumed complete charge of their administration. They converted the camps into training schools in which they subjected their students to the most intensive methods of Jewish survival and victory. Every morsel of food, clothing, every sexual pleasure, and other aspect of life became the vehicle of the most vicious bartering and maneuvering for advantage. Friedrich quotes one of them in the book, The Kingdom of Auschwitz. Concentration camp existence taught us that the whole world is really like a concentration camp. The world is ruled by neither justice nor morality. Crime is not punished, nor virtue rewarded. The world is ruled by power. We are laying the foundation for some new monstrous civilization. And I have to say that describes our world, does it not? The way I look at this world at this point, it is a monstrous civilization. And it's hardly civil. But it's very monstrous. So he goes on, in fact, the Jews used the camps as the opportunity to recreate the most intensive Talmudic training schools for themselves, a rigid education which they had lost since emerging from their medieval ghettos, now raging in their genetic powerhouses which they created in the camps. They prepared themselves for the inevitable ending of the war when they loosed themselves upon the war-torn nations of the earth like the most devastating plagues from Pandora's box. When they descended upon the helpless Christians, they immediately created a new monstrous civilization. As one Jew boasted, when I left the concentration camp, I suddenly realized that I could take anybody. The graduates of this school for power quickly became wealthy and influential residents of many countries. One and all, they were fanatic Zionists. They were united in their contempt for the Goyim, the Gentile cattle, whom they proposed to enslave and manipulate. With the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, they quickly converted the government of the United States into a vassal of Tel Aviv and used the wealth of the greatest country in the world to advance their goals in other nations. In every instance, they used the myth of the Holocaust to advance their objectives. The Goyim were inundated with stories and movies of the extermination of the Jews. Anne Roif wrote in The Generation Without a Mercy, page 62, when gas became costly and ran short, they threw the infants and children directly into burning ovens. She fails to tell us what sort of fuel the Germans were using for their burning ovens. The Jews continually wrote of the modern technology which had enabled the Germans to dispose of millions of Jews, and invariably, the sole illustration of this technology was a pair of small ovens which seemed a relic of the 19th century and which could have disposed of only a few bodies a day, A crematorium requires a temperature of 2200 degrees Fahrenheit for the first 90 minutes and then 1800 degrees from 60 to 150 minutes. And even this does not burn bones. Lacking fuel supplies, the Germans could not even have provided the necessary fuel to embark on any program of burning victims. You see, I will comment here, and what we're going through in our nations, especially the nations of the United States, France, the UK. See, we killed our own brothers. Those German soldiers were trying to save us from what we are presently enslaved within. And instead of welcoming our brothers, we killed them mercilessly because the Jew told us to. And now the price, is it worth it? Look what's happening in the UK today. Look what's happening in the United States today. This could have been prevented. The United States, I blame most of all, because if we had not entered the war, Germany would have taken the whole thing with no problem. And the whole continent of Europe, all of Europe would have been, communism would have been flashed back for many, many centuries. But instead, the United States, which he says here, became a vassal of Tel Aviv. We helped communism progress. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I often ask people. After World War II and we won it, was communism decimated or was it augmented? Well, of course it was augmented. Everything we've ever touched war-wise has progressed communism. When you look at Vietnam, when you look at China, when you look at North Korea, South Korea, when you look at Europe, when you look at South America, the United States has done nothing but promote communism under the pretense of spreading democracy, which is communism in its earlier form. So, you can see the troubles that we are facing now are payback. You don't kill all your innocent brothers, your innocent German brothers like that, that are trying to save you. And you see, the Germans were merciful to us. The Germans were merciful to England, not only in the Second World War, but in the First World War. After they had won it outright, they said, we don't want any reparations or anything here. We'll just stop the war here and that's it. We don't want to. And if you find out what Hitler said in World War II, he never wanted to go to war. He didn't want to go to war against his own racial brethren. He was very racial conscious. He had race consciousness. He understood who his brothers were. He did not want to kill his brothers. He let England go several times. He showed mercy over and over and over again. He did not want to bomb any of the cities in England. but was forced to do it by so-called heroes like Winston Churchill, the Freemason. See, all he is a Shabbos goy, and his mommy was Jewish. I believe her name was Jenny Jerome or something like that. You have to remember that the three top leaders in the so-called allied powers, whether it be Uncle Joe or Winston Churchill or F.D. Roosevelt, they were all Freemasons, which means they were under the control of the Jew, as I have proved in my series on Freemasonry. I have proved that Freemasonry is Jewish from top to bottom, from tip to toe. So therefore, you see, I have to keep explaining this to you. What goes on here is, you see, they always like to have the Shabbos goy take the heat while the Jew is doing it in the background, you see. So usually the Shabbos goy is the front man. However, FDR, Roosevelt, he was a Jew. Churchill, he was a Jew. Stalin was married to a Jewess. He killed many, many Christians. And so did FDR. And so did Winston Churchill. And so did the general who should have never been general and president who never should have been president, Eisenhower. The terrible Swedish Jew who hated Germans. So the despicable acts that we have committed against our brothers around the world have now come back to haunt us. What they sought to free us from was communism and Bolshevism and the Jew. Hitler showed us what would happen to a nation if it freed itself from this parasite. By getting rid of the Jews and getting rid of the Freemasons, right away, his nation began to heal. He showed us what could happen in just a short time if you could get the parasite off of you. When the Jews say never again, what they mean is never again will we be thrown out of a country. I want you to think about that. So, while you're looking to put the blame and call Hitler the evil one that the Jews have taught you since you were a child to believe such nonsense, you will find that the German nation were the true Christians. They were not the axis of evil. The axis of evil was the United States, the UK, and Uncle Joe and the communists. That's who the axis of evil is and was and always will be. How's that for a sobering thought, Mr. Military Man? You want the heroes that we thought you were. As a matter of fact, I look at you with disdain and disgust when I think of what you did to the Germans at the end of the war. You claim you have Versailles treaties and you have all these treaties that there's only certain things that you would do to people in war, and we have to treat people civilly, and all this nonsense with the Red Cross and all the food that's been sent to these people in Russia and these people that they starved to death in Russia. Food was sent there and that was put into warehouses and they still starved them. Food was sent to the Germans after the war and they still starved them. How would you like to be, Mr. American Soldier? How would you like to be standing in a field just steps away from the Rhine River and have no comforts of life at all? No water. No real food. No latrine. Would you like to piss in your own pants and stand there and live in it? Would you like to defecate in a hole that you had to dig and maybe lay down and die in that same hole? How would you like that, American soldier? You would never be treated that way, would you? But you treated these people that way. And these were your own brothers that were out to save you, that were merciful to you, but you had no mercy for them. What do you think that means on Judgment Day? Does that mean you were fighting for my freedom by making the Germans suffer and die? Or were you just taking orders? Obviously, you have no mind of your own, because if you would take an order such as that, then you deserve what you're going to get, and you are going to get it. You did not fight for our freedom in America. You did not fight any of these wars for our freedom. You fought these wars for the Jew and to make that little state of Israel, which still is not the Jews. 67. I know that I keep saying that, but I'm going to keep pointing it out. 67 years later, and that nation is not the Jews. It's not fully in their possession. 67 years. Do you think Yahweh has made it that way? Do you think Yahweh has made sure, because he said they would not have a nation of their own, and they still don't have a nation of their own, and they never have had a nation? Do you see the resistance and the harder they push to have that state, the worse it's getting? Don't you find that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? Don't you see that they don't even have Israel? But it doesn't matter, because Yahweh never said that we as Israelites would go back to Israel. Israel's too small for the true Israelites of the Bible to return to. You could never put all of the Caucasian people into that little area. It's impossible. Even now, after two-thirds of us have gone, we still couldn't fit into that little land. How do you like that? Can't you understand? Can't you see the resistance? Think about it. When us Caucasian people take a nation, we take it within weeks, if not days. Yet these filthy, murderous Jews can't even take a little plot of land in 67 years. I think I've made my point. See, the more they kick against the thorns, the more blood is spilled. Let's progress on. The Jews then introduced lurid stories of chemical experiments on the victims. In fact, the Washington Post recently carried a series of horror stories in which helpless victims were given chemical substances which caused them intense agony. A little spelling error there. Vomiting and convulsions, loss of hair, and many other excruciating symptoms. However, the victims were not Jews in Nazi concentration camps. They were patients at the National Institute of Health in Washington, where government doctors experimented on them with various chemicals for cancer treatments. Most of the victims died in agony without the slightest amelioration of their cancers. In American prisons, chemical testing of various substances on prisoners has been going on for many years. While our government continues to appropriate millions of dollars for the pursuit of Nazi war criminals, these chemical experiments in our prisons and hospitals go on without interruption. You can see the hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen. Can you not? You can see the hypocrisy because the Jews are hypocrites. Remember my saying that I have coined. Hypocrisy is the beacon of the Jews. The Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal has become a cult figure in Washington, despite the revelations that throughout World War II, he was a Gestapo agent. He has come under increasing criticism from many of his fellow Jews for his claim that he alone has kept the Holocaust myth alive in recent years. Soon he may even claim that he invented the entire myth. Meanwhile, the American people, driven to the brink of bankruptcy by our support of the State of Israel, can find no prospect of relief. You see, why has America been bankrupt? Well, not only because of the Federal Reserve, that earlier happened, and not only in 1933 when the Jews wanted every last piece of gold. They took the gold because we were bankrupt then. That was March 9th, 1933, I believe. You see, I told you in a message earlier that if you support God's enemies, you will have the same judgment that they have. So the more we support Israel from America here, the more cursed the nation becomes. And it's a forced support. Because I don't believe many of us want to support Israel. I'm surely positive that I don't want to support them. So the more we send over there, the more we bless Yahweh's enemies and our own enemies, only because we don't know it's our enemies. We don't even have an idea. The Caucasian people don't even have an idea that there's a two-seed line war been going on since the Garden. They don't understand. See, the Jews know there's a war. Jews/Edomites. They know that they're at war with the Caucasian race. And they've been decimating the Caucasian race. But the Caucasian race doesn't even know that two-thirds of it is gone. They have no idea. People are just now coming to the conclusion, oh, there's less white people on the street. Yes. I'm glad you finally woke up to that fact. Wait till you find out that 2/3 of us have been wiped off the planet. What kind of reality will that strike in your mind, or whatever's left of it? Now listen to this. Now the United States faces the possibility of a lawsuit projected by a group of German citizens for the sum of $400 billion. This claim is based on the more than 1 billion marks which West Germany has been forced to pay the State of Israel as reparations for the extermination of 6 million Jews. Now, I'm going to just stop there for a second. Because it was my idea, and it's still my idea, that it is time for the world body to put lawsuits on the Jewish bankers and the Jews as a whole, the little Jewish nation there. We can bankrupt it in within days. It's time for them to pay reparations. It's time for them to pay reparations for what happened to the German people after the war. It's time for them to pay for all reparations for all the destruction that happened to Europe on those two wars and revolutions that they caused through Freemasonry. It's time for them to pay reparations for all the destruction they have caused to our children through the wars, through abortion, through the medical system, through the pharmaceutical industry, and so on and so on. I mean, we could go on all day. Never mind the banking system, the usury that has been put upon us. We want it all back. So the world body, all countries, all of the white countries, probably all countries, should put several lawsuits, major, major lawsuits, with no Jews on the panels, of course, and we should get reparations back from these people. We should take them right out of business. We will seize all their media businesses. We will seize the banks back. We will seize that nation of Israel and give it back to the Palestinian people who own it at this point. We will seize back all the properties that they've stolen in America and all over Europe. And the world will begin to heal. Now, if you think that's such a far-fetched idea, it's not. It can be done. And I suggest that as a world body, we proceed with that ASAP. It is one of the many solutions, but it is, see, if money is the control factor, the central banks, we would seize those back, of course, from all nations, so that they would not have that any longer. Once the control mechanism gets taken away, and once they have no longer the control of the media, and once they have no power of usury in a nation. You see, what happens with Jews is if you shut off usury, they usually leave your nation. But see, we don't want them just to leave our nations. We want them to be prosecuted. See, when they leave our nations, remember the poem, the Lincoln Rockwell poem I read you, The Ducks and the Hens. Well, you see, he says it's hopeless at the end. Well, it certainly is hopeless when you send these people on to your brother's nations. So you've solved your problem for a short span of time, but you've given your brother all your problems. And he probably had his own problems. What I mean by that is if you throw the Jews out of the UK and they go into France, well, now your French brothers have that problem. And they already had their own problem with those people there, so it magnifies the problem. Then if he, as France, kicks them out, and many of them return to the UK, and others go into Germany, you see what happens is the wheel just goes around and around. The serpent just circles around and around. You must cut the head off through taking the finance back, trying them, and hanging them for all this treason that they have committed. You can't get away without killing the snake, peoples. Peoples of the world. You can't get away with it. You can't just keep casting them onto somebody else and making it somebody else's problem, because what comes around goes around and it just keeps going around and coming around. Do you understand? In other words, there has to be an end to it. Now, this is just pure common sense that I'm spewing forth at this moment. However, it is very relevant, and it is a solving of the problem, and it will begin to heal the world body. So let's move along here. This claim is based on the more than 1 billion marks which West Germany has been forced to pay the State of Israel as reparations for the extermination of 6 million Jews. Not only was the claim false, but it was extorted from the German people solely because of the continued military occupation of West Germany by the United States. The Germans point out that in all the prosecutions of former camp guards, they have only been charged with beating and kicking the Jewish inmates. None of them has been charged with actually gassing anyone. Kurt Becker of the Press Information Office in Bonn, Germany, stated in Newsweek, June 8, 1981, that as of December 31, 1980, West Germany has paid the State of Israel 63 billion DMs, or $30 billion, and was still committed to pay a further 9.5 billion. In addition, German firms have been forced to pay Israel many more billions as reparations to Jewish laborers and to furnish many billions of dollars worth of electrical systems, telephone systems, and other technological gifts to Israel. Gifts. Poison. As Chris Pede has pointed out many times. The German word for gifts is poison. In contrast, after World War I, the Reparations Commission submitted to Germany a demand that $30 billion be paid to be divided amongst all the nations which Germany had fought in that war. On this demand, only a few million dollars was ever paid, yet the State of Israel has already extracted from West Germany more money than it was asked by all nations whom Germany fought in World War I. The East Democratic Republic of Germany has denied that Germany owes any reparations to the State of Israel and has paid nothing, leaving the United States as the nation solely responsible for forcing West Germany to pay many billions to the State of Israel. The German government would never have paid this money without the force of the American occupying power. The good old American heroes. Aren't they heroes? You know, the ones that torture. The ones that don't abide by the Geneva Convention rules, but expect everybody else to. You know, the heroes. The ones that are spreading democracy throughout the world. You know, the heroes. The ones that are fighting for our freedom. Yeah. We could do without such heroes. No wonder they were spitting on people coming back from Vietnam, spitting on the soldiers. Now, I'm not saying they deserved it because the soldiers were just the tools, but I will say that they would deserve it if they were had anything to do with those German camps after the war. Not only would I want to spit on them, but I'd like to do the same thing to them that they did to Germany. See how they would like to stand in an open field day after day after day while they were being mocked with food and while the Rhine River gently made its way shortly from them while they were thirsty and hungry, while they had no latrines, no beds, no comforts, no doctors. I'd like to see our heroes then. The farcical nature of this explanation of our military collection agency is exposed when it is admitted that the American forces in West Germany could only delay a Russian advance from 2 to 4 hours, the payments of which the American military has demanded that West Germany pay to Israel have contributed heavily to West Germany's economic problems and are responsible for the growing anti-American feeling in Germany. Many Germans openly sneer at the mongrel culture of the United States and call us a nation of mulattoes due to the presence of many black troops occupying West Germany. Well, they should have known because the Jews are the ones that brought blacks into Germany to taint them up, too. It's nothing new. Because of the nature of the dictatorship maintained by the force of the American military occupying army, in which no German is allowed to question the myth of the Holocaust, the German patriots believe the only way to expose this conspiracy on behalf of Israel is to sue the United States for the return of all the Holocaust payments to Israel with interest. Good idea. This demand will soon be brought before the world court. Meanwhile, Americans must decide what action to take to salvage their collapsing economy from the demands made on it by the insatiable Israeli power. Only the complete exposure of the Holocaust will free our government officials from their commitments to ever-increasing payments to the state of Israel. And by the way, Israel also demanded reparations from the United States because they said we didn't get over there fast enough to release them from the camps. See, demands from Israel are like calls in the wind to me. I don't care what you demand. You can cry all day. You can scream all night. I'm not interested in what demands Israel has. They're a fake nation. They're not real Israelites. They are our enemies. They are the enemies of the world. The number one enemy of the world are the Jews. Has always been so. Will always be so until Yahweh comes back and gives them the Holocaust they richly deserve. The one that this is going to be the real one. I know I've told you that before, but this is not going to be a joke. This is going to be a real Holocaust. This isn't going to be a made-up story to protect you from what evils you have done. Just remember what I said about the blood crying, too. And I said this last week. If the blood can cry from the ground, then the blood that they drink of ours and our children's blood, or the blood that they have stolen through the Red Cross, the Jewish blood bank, I would think perhaps that the blood within these Jews that have drank it or have drunk it is crying out to Yahweh within these filthy Jewish bodies. How's that? Think about that, Jews. I don't think I'd want any blood inside of me crying out to Yahweh, would you? It's a scary, scary proposition. You may wish not to partake of that blood anymore. Do you want crying blood inside of you? Maybe that's what the fear is. Maybe the more blood you drink, the less peace you will have, because the blood is crying. The blood will cry. The blood will cry. The children die. All the while, the blood will cry. Well, how's that for a real horror story? Let's move along to Mr. Mullen's next secret teaching, The Secret Holocaust. It's by the same name, but it's a different teaching. I believe this one came out, yes, August 83. Let me just take a sip of coffee. I hope you're all doing well out there. I happen to know that the military listens to my shows, and I happen to know that Tel Aviv does too. And one thing I do notice is that after I said it took them 67 years, all of a sudden they want to step up the killing over there. Like they're in a rush to take the nation, because they are embarrassed that it would take 67 years to take a little plot of land. Yet there is an article that just came out that says that half of the world's wealth is in 1% of the people's hands. Now, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, should half the world's wealth, should even 1/10 of the world's wealth be in 1% of the people's hands? I leave that question for you to answer. It's the same question as should 1 or 2% of the people, the Jews, have control over the whole media, 96% of the media? Should they have control over 96% of the media worldwide? And they're trying to gain the other 4%, by the way, which would mean 100%. How's that for a little math for you? Should they control all of the media? Should you have no voice unless they deem it right, what you're saying? Is that how it should work? Should not all the families of the world have a voice in the media of the world? Of course they should. Everyone should be able to voice their opinion. Primarily, it should be done by men, though, because I see that the more that women speak, the more trouble there is in the world. And I know what I know all the thoughts now. Oh, yes. Oh, that's terrible. But you know what? Take an objective look and listen to the things that are coming out of most women's mouths. I'm not saying every woman. I'm talking about in the media that we see. I think they're better off silenced. That must mean I hate women, No, that doesn't mean that at all. You see, this equality nonsense. Yahweh told the woman that they are not equal to the man. Yahweh, as part of the judgment of what happened in the garden, put woman under the man. Woman was born to be a helpmate for the man. Not to run her mouth, not to be a man, not to control the world, not to make political statements, not to preach in the churches and tabernacles, unless she's teaching other women. No, women aren't to be men. I don't care. This is a Jewish idea. And in my up-and-coming news program this week, you will see that my prediction has come true. You see, I knew that the Jewesses, because I have reverse-engineered how we've got to where we are today, and I'm constantly reverse-engineering, and I knew that the Jewesses were the first ones to try to get women to be able to vote. That's one of the main places it started. Because women are moved about by their feelings. And the way they're engineering men today, men are starting to be moved about by their feelings like women. Certainly the black race is, no doubt about it. I mean, they can just be shoved anywhere the Jew wants to shove them. And very easily. But Yahweh decreed things for certain protections for us as a people. And when we go against those things that he decrees, we end up in trouble. So no, women should not be in government. Women are not equal to men. Women should not be giving their opinions all over the place. You see, the Apostle Paul told us there's too many voices in the world. We really need to hear from men of Yahweh, men who are leaders, men who are real men who are soldiers, men who have knowledge and wisdom. We do not need women to be doing that, to be in these categories. We need women to take care of our children. You see, it's an important thing when you take care of the children. It's what is it? Why is it the most important job probably on the planet? That's where you can voice your opinions, women. Okay? This is where you can get on your soapbox and teach your children how to become useful citizens of the kingdom of God. By teaching them godly principles, by teaching them the laws of Yahweh, by teaching them to love knowledge and love the things that are good. We do not need you in the world arena speaking your peace. When I look at the nations of Europe, most of this trouble is coming from women being involved. Examples? Yes, Germany. This is a big example. Women do not belong in government. Aren't I such a terrible fellow for telling you these things? Oh, you must hate me, women. I suppose that your feelings have been aroused at this point. I suppose that the feelings, I just hate this guy. Imagine he could say such a thing. What, not only is he a racist, but he's a white supremacist and a male supremacist and everything else that my feminist teachers have taught me. See, you haven't been taught by Yahweh. You've been taught by Jewish feminists. So my prediction, back to a round circle here, the Jewesses helped the women in America to gain their freedom from mankind. See, in the 50s and 40s, women used to need men because the men had the jobs and the cars and so on and so forth. Well, the Jew made it very, very clear what they could do so that now women no longer need the men. No longer want to be the helpmate of the man, but want to be equal and actually want to rule over the man. Ah, yes, we're getting to the nut now, aren't we? You've been taught, women, to be disobedient. You've been taught to be rebels. You've been taught that your feelings are more important than anything in this world. Well, back to my news story that's coming up. The Jewesses are now working with the Muslim women, as I predicted. And in the near future, you see that one of the key points is they're not allowed to drive. Oh, this is a major crime. We've got to get them their own cars so that they don't need their men anymore. See, I can see this progression. It's just plain and simple. Pretty soon in the Muslim countries, you'll have purple-haired queers. You'll have piercings all over them. You'll have slut women. They'll no longer wear their burqas and no longer they'll be pigs. And the Jews will laugh. See, because those countries laugh at us Americans because we don't have the women under our thumbs. They laugh at us. They mock us. But now that the Jewess is going to go in and do their poison to the women of these other countries. See, that's one of the reasons of bringing them into our countries. See, at first they get shocked when they see how the women dress. And they get shocked at beer festivals and things like that. But as time goes by, this culture will show them how to be degraded like all of us have been. And sooner or later they'll begin to respond to it. See, the Jews know that. It's gradualization once again. It's the modus operandi of the Jew and their father, Hillel, Lucifer. Gradualism is the key. See, when you see a Muslim woman attack an American woman or attack a British woman or so on and so forth, it's because they're shoving it on them just a little too fast. However, in time, a generation down, two generations down, they won't even know what a burqa was. They won't know what to be respectable was, and they will no longer be under the thumb of the man, which is exactly, you see, what this is hunting. When the lions and lionesses hunt, they seek the weak prey, and what they do is they isolate it from the herd and then take it down. As long as the woman is under the protection of the man and the family, and the children under the protection of the woman and the family and the father, so, which I shouldn't say, the dad, it's hard to take them down and destroy them. But if we can get them to remember that people used to, when they didn't like who their parents picked for them to marry, they would run away with their so-called lover. See? They got isolated from the herd. They got isolated from the family. Therefore, they were vulnerable. The runaway girl that runs to Hollywood to become a star is now isolated from the herd and is in a position to be destroyed. This is what it's all about. This is why safety in numbers. Okay, let me continue on here. The devastation of civilization to date by the rapacious hordes of godless communism, as well as their planned annihilation of all non-Jewish societies and political organizations, began to ravage the world in the 19th century. It has resulted in incredible suffering and death for many millions of Christian victims in many parts of the world. Yet, these Christian victims lie in their graves, unmourned and unknown, while a new class of international, the word for the Jew, citizens, the creators of Marxist terrorism, profess to be the only victims who have endured suffering in the past 150 years. They command the world to weep for them because they control the world. These harbingers of terror claim to be refugees. Since they had no nation of their own, and they still don't, 67 years later, but infested the civilized societies in every part of the world for 2,000 years, bringing with them in every instance disease and death, they have emerged from one shattered nation after another, not as refugees, but as the final victors, bearing away their loot and scurrying through parts which they have created and which they alone know how to follow. I think that should mean paths. But anyway, until they come unto another host nation. With them they bring, like the medieval bubonic plagues, an infection which they were accused of spreading, a terrible contamination, an infestation which quickly spreads to the new host country and fells all who become its victims. This plague is world communism. This is what Hitler was trying to protect us from, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the German soldiers that you unmercifully destroyed and killed your brothers. This is what they were trying to protect you against. This plague is world communism, and its known carriers, the fury scavengers who have found their way through the sewers into every civilized place, are the international Jews. Yes, I told you that before, that they are international because they have had no nation of their own, that the curse of Cain is on them, they could not farm, and that they would be vagabonds and wanderers. That's why they are international. Because they've lived in every nation of the world. Israelites are not international. Didn't you realize that they wanted you to think globally? Didn't you notice in the last 10 to 20 years how you'll see things like, think globally, globalism? They'll show you icons with with swirling things like rings going around the globe. Globalism is communism. Globalism is internationalism. Globalism has everything to do with the Jews. Think globalism. You see, that's what it is to be interdependent. So let's continue on. We are asked to weep only for the Jews and to ignore the many millions of actual victims of world terrorism in the past 150 years, a chronicle of such horror that one scarcely can bear to put down this blood-stained record, not merely in fear that the world might put away its business in order to mourn these countless victims of international communist terrorism, but that the tragic fate of these innocents, most of them women and children, is one of the such pathos that one's heart could break from the full impact of its terrifying implications for everyone alive today. One of the first victims of international financiers, shortly after the publication of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx in 1848, was the southern civilization of the United States, while immigrants had wrested from a hostile territory the means to create a gracious culture. One which the ruder and more unlettered sections of the New Republic could only gape at in admiration. An admiration, however, which soon turned to envy and then hatred. This hatred brought armies into the American South, bearing the terrorists who, unknown at that time, were the first communist totalitarians determined to wreak their hatred and policies of annihilation on all civilized people. The Southerners were unfortunate enough to be the first victims. Military governments were set up in the conquered South, operating solely on the totalitarian concepts of godless communism, with courts functioning under martial law. The Southerners had been robbed of their constitution and of their rights to property and even existence. Their homes were burned and looted, and savage hordes were unleashed to rape and pillage the properties, which were occupied only by women and children. To deny the inherited rights of these Southerners, which were still their due under the laws of this nation, a brutal reign of terror featuring federal judges, federal courts, and federal prisons, which were set up for the first time in any state of the United States. For the Southern patriots who dared to protest these outrages, federal insane asylums were set up for those who were not executed on the spot. You see, when you see the word federal, I want you to realize that that's a Jewish term. The federal government only has jurisdiction in four areas. The four areas are peace, war, negotiations, and foreign commerce. Therefore, all these federal institutions that you hear about, like the FDA, Homeland Security, there's an endless list of them. They're all illegal. The federal government has no jurisdiction in any of these areas. You see, do you understand what I'm telling you? In other words, the food that happens in all the states, the agricultural things that happen, the raw milk, all these things, it's no business of the federal government at all. Even alcohol has nothing to do with them, yet they have the Bureau of firearms and tobacco and firearms and alcohol, whatever, right? Well, the firearms, if they're being sold to us from other countries, then it has to do with them. But if the firearms are being made in the United States, it has nothing to do with them. The alcohol, if it's coming from another country, has to do with them. Foreign commerce, you understand? Let me repeat the four things again. Peace, war, negotiation, and foreign commerce. They have nothing to do with drugs that are in our country. They have nothing to do with any of these. They have nothing to do with the food. The states regulate these things. So this so-called federal government has way overstepped its boundaries and made all kinds of alphabet organizations, federal organizations. See, the feds were coming after us. The feds. See, you can see this in Star Trek. You see, they brainwashed us in Star Trek. And everybody, all the planets, there was the Federation of Planets. This is you have the Federation of the United States, or the United States is a whole bunch of states, right? So the same thing is with the planets. But I remember that the enemy of the Federation of Planets was the Klingons. And Mr. Bill Cooper mentioned that the Klingons, why they were the enemy of the Federation of Planets, is because they were trying to cling on to the old ways. Makes sense? Sure does. But neither here nor there. Let's continue on. From New York, Jewish carpetbaggers and Lehmans, from New York, Jewish carpetbaggers, the Lehmans, the Baruchs, and other special emissaries of the Rothschilds came to seize from the widows and orphans of the Confederate dead their last savings, their last possessions, and their devastated lands. The federal power was absolute, for the military reconstruction of the South was an occupation zone, and no democratic procedures were allowed the vanquished Southerners until they had been stripped of their last holdings. The impoverished survivors were forced to make a living by whatever pitiful means left to them. In Europe, too, the civilized nations. See, let me point out something. Like, you talk about the Geneva Convention. Well, this is why I'm so against General Sherman, who has his Freemasonic hand in his breast of his shirt. He devastated all these people. There are rules to war of how much you can put on another man, or how much you can do to your enemy. These people far surpassed anything that would be civil. It was not a civil war whatsoever. It was a very uncivil war. And the wrong side again won the war. And why do I say that? Because those people in the South were the real Americans. The ones that were blessed of Yahweh. They lived in beautiful homes. They had beautiful businesses, farms, etc. They were decent, God-fearing people. And just like North Korea or North Vietnam, the North, which were both communists, by the way, the North of America won against the South, which means the communists won against the true Americans. That's why they even hate that flag today. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the wrong side won that Civil War. In Europe, too, the civilized nations were beset throughout the 19th century by successive wars and revolutions, which resulted in millions of Christian refugees. Modern history begins with the Congress of Vienna in 1815, when the Jews, unleashed from their ghettos and bearing a tide of gold amassed by the Rothschilds through their instigation and financing of wars from 1775 to 1812, used their newly acquired wealth to subvert the established governments of Europe and to start them on their terrifying slide into oblivion. Their victims were helpless before their Jewish onslaught because they were Christians who believed that love for one's fellow man guides the affairs of the earth. And so it does, until Satan intervenes through his people. It was possible for any Christian to believe that such bloodthirsty, it was impossible for any Christian to believe that such bloodthirsty savages could exist among any civilized people. Nor could the Christians, believing in their religion of Christ's love for humanity, understand the virulent hatred which the Jew bore towards all of God's creatures, and which is beyond the ken of any civilized human being. Yes, it is beyond us, because I told you the Jewish mind is poison. You know, I asked this Irish lady, and it seems like the Irish are such a decent people, somewhat gullible, but such a decent people. And I said to her, why can't you believe that the news lies to you? And she says, because I would never do that. I can't imagine anybody doing that to me. See, these satanic the satanic bloodline of the Jews was unleashed upon the people. They unleashed disease, they unleashed usury, they unleashed no mercy, no quarter. They unleashed hell upon earth, as they have continued to do now. They unleashed war. They unleashed death. And people couldn't understand it because they wouldn't be doing these things. They wouldn't have done these things. So they can't understand that anyone could live that would do such a thing. So he says, please bear in mind that the above-mentioned Congress of Vienna was made possible by the House of Romanov and that German nobility of Russia, which Mr. Mullins presently tells were such a blessing to Russia and mankind in general. That was a note from somebody. Only now, so Eustace continues on, only now as the Christian peoples totter on the verge of worldwide annihilation by the Jewish master scheme, can some indication of the nature of the enemy begin to be seen. In the New Republic, April 13th, 1983, it is noted that a Polish agitator, Adam Michnik, is accused of being a Zionist who is prepared to torture patriotic opponents. Like we do in America now. We're the good guys. In the same issue, we find that Jerry Urban wrote in a Polish journal that the bloodthirstiness of Zionist doctrine and practice must be opposed. Urban calls attention to genocide in its Israeli edition, referring to the continued massacres of Arab women and children under the direction of fanatical Zionists in the notorious Rosh Hashan massacre. It's different than a manicure. A religious celebration which served the dual purpose of Jewish ritual murder and the political goals of the world's most famous terrorist, Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who desires to murder every Arab man, woman, and child in the territories which the Jews plan to annex and settle in the Middle East. These people, they're just murderers, liars. This people is just a trouble to the world. That's all I can say. Nothing but trouble to the world. Urban brings up a vital point in referring to the well-known genocidal practices of the Israeli government, suggesting that the Jews are now delighting in mass murder. Well, let me stop right there for a second, because this is the thought that I had. You do realize that abortion is genocide, right? You do realize that abortion is Jewish ritual murder. You do realize that, right? I would suggest that you go to find the names of the abortionists, the so-called doctors, abortionists, and you will find out that it's heavily Jewish. And I mean probably right to 90-something percent. Because who could sleep at night doing something like that? These Jews, however, will love it. It's destroying their enemy. It's satanic. There was a witch that wrote a book about that and said that abortion is sacrifice. They delight in it. Now, you must know that a lot of Satanists are Jews. But neither here nor there. Let's continue on. Urban brings up a vital point in referring to the well-known genocidal practices of the Israeli government, suggesting that the Jews are now delighting in mass murder as a compensation for the myth that they quietly went to their deaths in the notorious Holocaust fantasy without resisting their Nazi killers. The idea that the heretofore passive Jews are, for the first time in their history, learning to kill, belies the entire recorded history of this plague. There are too many well-documented massacres in history in which the Jews tortured and murdered their victims with the greatest glee, gloating in such barbaric practices of tearing out the hearts of the women and children and smearing the blood on their faces while the Jewish women ripped out the writhing entrails of their dying victims and wrapped the steaming evidences of their victory around their waists and began the traditional Jewish dance of the Hatkavah as the celebration of their triumph over their vanquished foes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, these people are mentally ill, physically ill, spiritually ill. They are just ill. And that's why they call it the Illuminati. Ill. They are ill. The Illuminati. That is the Jews. It's about time I close this here, and we shall continue on next week. I suppose there'll be a part two, because we're not even near through this secret teaching of Eustace Mullins. You know, the more I find out about these people, the more I wonder how the world can't see it. I don't understand how you can walk through your daily lives and not see evidences of what's going on. Or if you do see the evidence, are you hiding your head in the sand and say, oh no, I'll just shut my mouth. Remember, they told me as a child, keep your nose clean. You know, in other words, don't put your nose in anyone's business. It could mean a lot of trouble for you. What do you think of that? Are you keeping your nose out of other people's business because you're afraid? Well, remember what the book of Revelation says right at the end. The number one people that will not enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God are the fearful. So you better get over that. Now, you should be fearful of Yahweh rather than fearful of these people. Yes, you could die. But fear not them that can kill the body. Rather, fear him who can kill your soul. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.
Left, left, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, left, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.